In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It's wonderful to be back. I had a marvelous time of reunions with old friends and family in California, including my 40th high school reunion, my mother's 92nd birthday, and visiting lots of extended family and good friends. I've thought from time to time what my life would have been like had I stayed in my hometown all of these years. My brother did that, and a number of the folks from my high school. Some of you have had that experience in Tampa. You've been here your whole lives. But nowadays, it's less and less common in most places for people to stay in one place for their whole life, even in a big city. In any case, I've moved around a lot, well, it seems a lot to me anyway, in my life. Not as much as some of you, but more than enough for me. 4 major moves, from California to Atlanta, Atlanta to Maine, Maine to West Virginia, and West Virginia to Temple Terrace and St. Catharines almost 7 years ago. And one of the great blessings of all of this moving around is that I have strong connections with people in all of those places. So a couple of weeks ago, I attended the first high school reunion I have ever been able to go to, my 40th. Now, some of you will understand this, but if you're younger than about 25, just think about when I graduated from high school, we didn't even have email. So it might be hard to believe, but it is true. No email, no internet, no, you know. So I went to college on the East Coast, and I have lived on the East Coast permanently since 1984. And so I lost track of a lot of people that otherwise I would have kept in touch with. A few, you know, a handful of good friends, I knew where they were and I'd kept in touch with. But even some of my closer friends in junior high and high school, I completely lost track of. I did look for some of them, but not everyone is on Facebook. So I didn't even have contact information for most people in my high school class, which was 800 people. So when I started thinking about who I really wanted to see after all these years, there were a few that stood out in my mind. Of the folks that I had not seen or communicated with in 40 years, I wanted to reconnect with a particular few. Matt, who was my best friend in first grade. Phil, who competed with me all through school for who was going to get the best grades. Casey and Sue, who sang with me in junior high school. Now, before the reunion, they didn't publish a list of who was coming, so I didn't know if I was going to get a chance to see the people that I really wanted to see. But they all showed up. One was at another gathering where we talked for hours. My friend Matt and his wife, who I hadn't seen in 40 years, my best friend from first grade. The other 3 at the reunion, where again, we all were equally delighted to see each other. And we talked and laughed for hours and felt the strong connections that we have together in our past. It was way beyond any of my expectations for this reunion. And it was an incredible experience to reconnect after 40 years with these good friends. It is like that sense of incredible connection discovering that it's still there after 40 years, only much, much stronger, that the inner circle of disciples had with Jesus. So when many others were turning away from him because his teaching was too hard for them to take in, the inner circle of his disciples stayed with him. They were already so connected. Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" And Simon Peter spoke for them all when he answered, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." Now, it might be hard for us to understand what was so difficult about Jesus' teaching. Because if we've been a part of the Episcopal Church for a long time, we don't even think about it anymore. But first of all, talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood was shocking to them. And secondly, Jesus was inviting them into a very different kind of relationship with God. A different way of being with God and thinking about God. No longer was God just far out there somewhere, nearly unreachable, totally transcendent. No, Jesus was trying to teach them that God was right here with them. And not only that, but by eating the bread and drinking the wine in the manner that he taught them, they were actually participating in the life of God. They were ingesting God, if you will. Now, this was shocking to them. I imagine some of you have probably been at the communion rail when a young child who's brand new to the Episcopal Church is at the rail, and we come by and we say, "The body of Christ, the blood of Christ," and you hear a yuck. Well, that's a perfectly normal reaction if you take it all literally. As I say, we are already, it's part of us, and we don't think about how shocking that would have been to the Jewish people that Jesus was talking with. Now, most of you know that in the Episcopal Church, we have a very high doctrine of Holy Communion. And that differentiates us from a lot of the other denominations. We believe that the bread and the wine are changed in the consecration. That's why in the Episcopal Church, we have priests, that ordination is a sacrament, like it is in the Roman Catholic Church or the Orthodox Church. It's not so in the other Protestant denominations. But we believe, most Episcopalians believe, something like consubstantiation. It's a very long word, but it means that the bread and the wine actually become holy. The bread and the wine actually become infused with Christ while still remaining bread and wine. That is the normative Episcopal understanding of what happens in the mystery of the Eucharist. And some Episcopalians, it's certainly possible to believe in transubstantiation, which the Roman Catholics hold, that the bread and wine actually become the body and blood of Christ. We are allowed to believe that, and we don't have to believe that. It's one of those things that fits that wonderful Anglican saying, all may, like anyone who wants to can hold that. None must, So we're not going to say that anyone has to, and some should. I could say that about a lot of things. In any case, when I was in seminary at Emory University, which is a predominantly Methodist seminary, and the Anglican Studies program shared the chapel with the Methodists, one of the seminarians coined this phrase, "We don't refreeze Jesus." Now, that requires a little bit of explanation. Because the Methodists in general have a very different understanding of what happens in Holy Communion, not believing that the bread and wine are really any difference in substance after the consecration, they would often take the elements and freeze the bread again. It was real bread. Freeze the bread to use at another service, and it would be reconsecrated. Episcopalians never do this. You may have noticed we take very careful care of the consecrated bread and wine. We treat it differently because it is different after the consecration. So we either always consume it, or we put it in the ombre back there behind the organ, which is sometimes called the tabernacle. Or, in the case of wine, we can return it to the earth directly. We, like most Episcopal churches, even have a special sink in the sacristy that does just that, that runs directly into the ground instead of into the normal place that the water goes, the sewer pipes. That way, the altar guild can properly dispose of any leftover wine, and the priests and the lay assistants don't have to chug the rest of the communion wine, which is port, by the way, so it's rather strong. The leftover bread is kept in the ombre, and we use that to take to people who are unable to come to church. We keep the sanctuary candle burning there to symbolize Christ's presence in the bread and wine that has been consecrated and is stored in the ombre. So Jesus gave us this ritual, the Eucharist, the Holy Communion, this way of participating in the life of God to help us remember week by week that we are connected to God. God is always with us, but sometimes in the busyness of our lives, the preoccupations of our lives, we can forget that. The connection, though, is always there. Just like that amazing connection that I rediscovered with friends I hadn't seen in 40 years, but much, much stronger. God is always with us. And the reason for spiritual practice, weekly Eucharist, daily office, and individual devotions, is for us to be able to remember that every day. We who have tasted this connection to God, this participation in the life of God, cannot leave for very long. Like Peter, we make our confession, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." Amen.